Today is our second sermon in our series from the book of James called Putting Feet to Our Faith. James makes sure that we walk our talk when it comes to being followers of Jesus Christ. Have you been noticing all the walking themes in our songs and in our liturgy, and you see shoes here and outside of the sanctuary to remind us? Last week, we gave you a heart charm with footprints, and if you didn't get one yet, they're on the prayer table, and you can get one after church. Today's sermon from the book of James deals with developing perseverance and responding to trials and temptations. Speaking of trials and temptations, this week I decided to get serious with a goal that I had when I moved to Duluth, that this was going to be the time in my life when I really work on my physical health and get more physically healthy. And so I thought about Weight Watchers. A lot of my friends had good luck with that, and I decided to go into one of the Weight Watchers stores and talk with them there to see if it would be right with me. And so I took my cell phone and I put Weight Watchers in my Google Maps, and then I followed the directions exactly. This is where I ended up. The directions took me straight to Cold Stone Creamery, and I wondered if it was a sign. God saying, Janine, you're perfect just the way you are. Have some ice cream. You see the very small Weight Watchers sign there. They share a building together, so talk about temptation and developing perseverance. Let's pray as we begin. God, as we hear and read your word, and especially this letter from James, would you open our ears so that we can hear, free us from distractions around us and within us so that we can really listen. God, speak to our minds a glimpse of the divine, and then open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Today's scripture from the book of James has a lot to say about the topic of perseverance. I'd like you to take out your study guide that's in the bulletin, or you can follow along on the screen with me. We're actually going to walk through today's scripture step by step. I don't usually do that, but today's text seemed to make that right. And believe it or not, more than a dozen of you talked to me this week with some questions, and so I thought we should do that. However, this morning I told my mom, because of that, my sermon's going to be a bit longer, to which she said, "Oh, no." So we'll see how it goes. James begins this section by, in verse 2, saying, would you read it with me? Consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Notice that he doesn't say if you face trials. He said when you face trials, because trouble is a constant in our daily lives. The question is, how do we deal with the trouble when trouble comes? Well, James tells us what to do. James tells us that we should consider it pure joy. I don't know about you, but my natural inclination when facing trouble is rarely joy. And yet this is what James tells us to do. So what does it mean? Joy in suffering doesn't mean that we smile at trouble and pretend that we like the pain, nor does it mean that we live in denial, pretending that we aren't really impacted and hurting. Rather, joy. Joy is a deep inner confidence that God is with us and is at work in our lives, and no matter what is going on, God is going to see us through. Joy, it's very different from happiness, although we often use the words alike. But happiness, it's dependent upon our circumstances, dependent upon what's happening in the moment. But joy is a gift that's offered to us regardless of our circumstances. It's given to us when we place our trust and our hope in God. And we have this joy because God gives us the assurance that no matter what is happening to us, we're going to ultimately be okay. Because God loves us and is with us. Not long ago, I was visiting with a friend. He recently experienced two unexpected and very devastating losses. I asked him how he was doing, and he was quiet, and then he said that right now his life is incredibly painful and out of control, and so he's feeling very surprised that he is fairly calm and peaceful inside. He said he couldn't give words to explain why he was okay when he was in the midst of tragedy. Well, I can put words to it. You see, my friend, he's trusted God for many years. He's leaned on God and others for support in difficult times. He's been willing to cry out to God and express his pain and his sadness. And he's experienced that peace-filled experience of joy that God promises can be ours, even in the worst of times. As you come to worship today, when you're really honest with yourselves, where are you struggling or hurting or fearful? Will you talk to God about it? Share it with others? Ask God to give you a sense of well-being and hope, even in the midst of that, so that you can experience that real, inner, lasting joy that God promises. Verse 3 to 4 reads, read it with me. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James' message here is that we develop a persevering spirit as we weather the storms in life by leaning on and trusting in God's love for us. James encourages us to focus on the positive, to choose to be bold and strong because we have the strength of God and others, rather than choosing a victim mentality and focusing on the unfairness of it all. James calls us to put our feet to our faith by never giving up and never losing hope. As we develop this spirit of perseverance, we find we're able to survive, and even more than survive, we're able to thrive no matter what comes our way, because we always know that we have hope. Now we move to verses 5 to 8. I'll read for you. If any of you lacks wisdom, he or she should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts, Kyle, is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That one should not think he or she will receive anything from the Lord. He or she is a double-minded person, unstable in all he or she does. This is the part of the scripture that many of you had questions on this week. Here, James refers to the double-minded person who wavers in their faith. Double-minded refers to a person who is thinking or looking two ways at once. It is looking at a faith that is undisciplined and self-focused. The verse talks about how we need to believe and not doubt. Did that phrase kind of catch you? We need to believe and not doubt, and that if we doubt, we will never realize what we pray for. Does this mean that we won't get healed and other people won't get healed if we don't really and fully believe? Does it mean that God will only answer our prayer if we have absolutely no doubt or questions or wondering at all? Does faith mean having no doubt? Isn't faith built on the fact that we have to trust without knowing for sure, so there always is that element of doubt? So what can James possibly mean with these words? Remember, when we're studying Scripture, we always want to look at the context, and this context comes from the letter of James, which is all about putting feet to our faith. And so it seems that for James, the word believe isn't simply accepting something as true, a faith thought. It's more a faith action, seeking God's help, and then taking action to put feet to our prayer. And God doesn't promise to give us everything we want. God isn't some prayer genie who grants wishes, makes life easier for us if we just really believe. I mean, think about people in third world countries struggling to have enough to eat, watching their children die, and they're people of great faith. Clearly, we couldn't tell them that they don't believe enough or those things wouldn't be happening. And Jesus certainly believed. He believed in God's mission, and so he prayed for God's will, but that didn't mean everything went perfectly easy and fine for him. After all, it led him to a cross. But God guided him, filled him with strength and meaning and purpose. The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of our New Testament, prayed with fervent belief for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. You see, Paul had some terrible affliction, and he believed that God could get rid of it. But God didn't remove the thorn in his flesh. Instead, God filled him with God's presence, which helped him endure it and live in spite of it. What God promises us is that through prayer, God will always be with us no matter what we face, and it is when we believe that God hears our prayers and really cares about us personally and walks with us, then we begin to find healing and hope and joy and purpose. As part of this discussion on double-mindedness, James calls us to seek wisdom from God. The truth of the matter is that when you and I are faced with a situation, we tend to only reflect on what is happening on the here and now and how it affects us personally. But wisdom, God's kind of wisdom, it gives us a broader, longer perspective. Wisdom reminds us who God calls us to be, what God calls us to do, and helps us to be able to do that. We find godly wisdom when rather than reacting on our immediate perception and impressions, we pause and think it through and think about the impressions and perspectives of others and pray before saying anything or responding. This wise, spirit-filled responding rather than emotionally reacting, it gives us inner strength and it gives us joy. So what about you? Do you ever find yourself inconsistent when it comes to living out your faith? Do you ever see evidence of double-mindedness in yourself? Do you ever take actions that lack wisdom? If so, can we be intentional in seeking God's wisdom so that we won't be blown and tossed by the trials of life, but will instead mature through them? Let's look now at verses 9 to 12. The person in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his or her high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in their low position, because they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossoms fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich person will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Here James is teaching us that we must not be tempted by wealth. He's not saying here that there is anything wrong with being wealthy. Actually, he's not talking about money at all. His words here are all about being grounded in who we are and whose we are and having a deep inner sense of humility, knowing that all we are belongs to God and is a gift from God, and all we have, it's a great blessing, but we won't take it with us. It's so temporal. James talks about how we are blessed when we are in humble circumstances, because it is when we begin to understand that we are not self-sufficient that we then rely on God and other people, and we begin to develop that sense of humility that leads us to Christian maturity, that leads us to that experience of joy. So next time you're feeling strong and self-sufficient, remember God's call to be humble. And the next time you're feeling weak and vulnerable and a bit insecure, can we remember that it is through our weakness that God works inside of us and creates inner depth? Now we finish today with verses 13 through 18. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by their own evil desire, they are dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear friends. Read with me now. Every good and perfect gift is from God, from the Lord of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that was created. James makes it clear here that he does not agree with those people who thinks that God sends trials and temptations and bad things our way in order to tempt us. James insists that God has nothing to do with evil and would never use evil or bad purposes to accomplish good purposes. We talked about that in our Mythbusters sermon series this summer. This is good news for Christians who sometimes lose their faith when tragedy strikes because they think that God is punishing them for some reason or testing them for some purpose. James argues that God would never, ever act in such an unloving way. God is never the source of temptation to evil. God instead is the source of every good and perfect gift. God doesn't send evil. But the gift of God is that God can take the bad things in our lives, even the evil things in our world, and make good things happen from them. Rather than God sending temptation our way to test us, James says that temptation really begins in our undisciplined desires. So, do you deal with any undisciplined desires? What undisciplined desires in our lives might be leading us away from God, taking joy and life from us? The undisciplined desire to acquire material things, using drug, alcohol, food, and the like to cover up places that really need inner healing, making sure we are in control of our relationships, demanding that everything be done in ways that meet our preferences, putting ourselves at the center of the universe. We need to be aware of our undisciplined desires, so that we can turn them over to God and find help and make mature decisions about them, so that we can have the life and joy that God intends for us. James ends today's section of his letter by telling us that God wants us to be a kind of first fruit of all that God created. Each year in ancient Israel, the first sheaf of harvested grain, the first and best fruits, were offered to God, and they were offered to God as acknowledgement that the entire harvest, all of it, really belonged to the Lord. Let you and I offer God the first fruits of all that we have and all that we are and all that we do. And as we deal with daily trials and temptations, may we gain wisdom and endurance that leads to Christian maturity and deep inner joy. As we continue reading these words from the book of James, as we continue focusing on putting feet to our faith. May our living out our faith lead us to be filled and fulfilled, bringing blessing and nourishment to all those around us. Amen. Amen.